Rosh Hashanah Meir, Perek Beis of Yena, just to take up from where we left off, the end of Perek Aleph, that the sailors have thrown Yena overboard, and he has, well, he's now in the sea at this point, and we explained at the time there, that Al-Sheikh explained that on the one hand, the selfless act of Yonah was a zechus, was a merit for him, because he wanted to save Klal Yisrael's skin by running away, so as not to be able to receive a second instruction from Hashem to tell Nineveh to do teshuvah, because he knew full well that they would do teshuvah, since they were goyim, their yetzahara was much smaller, the greater a person is, the bigger their yetzahara, therefore they would probably distance straight away. They would do teshuvah, which would show up Klal Yisrael, who were on following countless warnings from the Nevi'im, they hadn't done teshuvah. On the other hand, the way in which he did it, the fact that he ran away from Melifnei Hashem, from the Dveikus of Hashem, for that he had to be punished. And therefore, we're going to see in this Perek, first of all, the punishment which came, and then his reward at the end of it. So we go straight into Perek, base Pasuk Aleph. Vayiman Hashem dog godol, and Hashem prepared a big fish, livroya es Yonah, to swallow up Yonah. Now, it does not say vayibla es Yonah, that it swallowed up Yonah. It was prepared, ready to swallow up Yonah, which means that first, he was going to be punished. And I think what this means is it's refuah kodim lemaka. It's based on the Al-Sheikh. It's when Hashem wants to punish tzaddik or klal yisrael, what Hashem does, he first prepares the remedy, and then he sends along the punishment. So to here, the fish, which was actually going to save Yonah from the waters, was prepared prior to his suffering inside the sea, which he was going to suffer in a couple of second time. Number two is that this was actually prepared, according to Chazal, this fish was already prepared from the 6 days of creation. It was ready from those days. So, Vayihi Yonah b'me'adog, the pasuk continues that Yonah was inside the fish, in the stomach of the fish, for 3 days and three nights. Now, Piteva, by the dictates of nature, it'd be absolutely impossible to survive such an ordeal. Number one, to be still in one piece, being swallowed up by whatever this fish was. But more to the point is, how did he survive inside a fish for 3 days, three nights without any air? Like, a fish can do it, but how can a human being do it? So the Malbim says that it seems that he was actually, it was as if he already died. And therefore he was being reborn. And if he was being reborn, he was like the human being, like the fetus inside the mother. And the fetus inside the mother doesn't need any air. It gets from the mother. So to hear, it was as if he had already died, and therefore he was being reborn, and therefore he was like the fetus inside the fish, and therefore he was able to live without the air. And it seems perhaps it's a hint towards the fact that if you Baal Teshuvah is like a cotton shenoda, it's like a person who turns over a new leaf, it's as if he's been given a new lease of life, he's been reborn, in the figurative sense, and therefore we'll see that plays a couple of times in this parak, that idea. But the Al-Sheikh adds on, Vayihi Yonah is more, Vayihi is that Hashem was Mahaya, Hashem gave him the Chiyus, Hashem gave him the life, the ability to go against Teva and to survive inside the fish. Hashem is showing his Shlita, his control, that Hashem is not governed by the laws of nature, and therefore he was able to keep him alive even in such a place. What is the Inyan of 3 days, by the way? Just what's 3 days and three nights? I think the answer is we found this, we spoke about this as well. That we find very often 3 days is days of hachon, is days of preparation for something big which is going to come along. Now we find a bit by Matan Torah, Shlish Tamei Hagbadah, with 3 days before Matan Torah to prepare. Esther, prior to going into Achashverosh, she told them to fast for 3 days. There's many, many examples of it, right? And so to here, Yonah was, there was 3 days inside the fish before he was going to be forced to Davent Hashem and return and come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Pasuk base. Vayispalel Yonah el Hashem Elokov, and Yonah davened to Hashem his God. Now note that it says el Hashem Elokov. Right, we'll see this later on in the parak more significantly. But once a person davens to Hashem, he does teshuvah. Through that, he connects with Hashem, and Hashem becomes Elokov, his personal God. We'll speak about this Be'ezus Hashem later on in the parak. Where did he daven? Mimei Adoga, from inside the fish. Now, Chazal notes that it's changed from dog to dog off. And what's the difference? So Chazal say that actually what happened was he was swallowed up originally by a male fish, and then he was spat out, because he didn't daven, and he was swallowed up by a second time by a female fish. And that would obviously force him to daven, because there was much less space inside the female fish, because it has all the baits and all the eggs, which are going to, uh, of right of potential babies, and therefore he was much more confined, much more squashed there, and he was forced to daven mitzeichad eichad. And I think what we see over here is, again, you see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'avel l'tfilos shel tzadikim. Chazal tell us Hashem wants, he desires, as it were, the tfilos of tzadikim, and therefore he gives them yisurim, he gives them suffering in order that they will daven to him, and through that they will reinstate and strengthen, reaffirm the kesher, the bonds which they have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, once again, that seems that's merumas in this pasuk, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him inside a female fish, the female fish carrying all these eggs, symbolizing the potential rebirth which Yonah could undergo if he were to do teshuva.
Where is the mammal, by the way? It doesn't have eggs.
Sorry?
Where is the mammal? The same as human beings. So, where it doesn't have eggs, it's got a human being producing similar to a human being.
If it was a whale.
If it was a whale.
Good question. Was it a whale? Yeah. It may be a bit of a myth, this thing about the male. We just think of a very big fish, the whale.
It's not
ovaries. No, you say if it was a whale, okay, there wouldn't have been eggs, there would have been other, you know, actual life fish, whatever it was. So either, but the just it's very important to note, the Malm says the word dogo is not female. That's not how we know. It's not because it's got a hay, therefore it's female. He says that's not true. Dogo just means the species. Now, being the species, he says that the point is like this. When he was swallowed up, it was by a dog, a male fish, therefore there was only one of it. Now he was swallowed up by a species, meaning they were implying there were lots of fish there. Why were there lots of fish? The answer is because now he was inside a female fish, means there were lots of eggs, and right, there were many fish surrounding him. And that's how he says that we know it's a female fish. It's not because the word dog would just imply, this is going to be quite significant for the end of the paragraph, that's why I'm just bringing that in here. So, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer, he said, Karasi mitzarodi el Hashem, I called out from my trouble to Hashem, Vayanini, and he answered me. So the Malbim, in this pasuk, Yonah is summing up his two stages of his suffering, or two stages in this whole story. Number one is the yisurim which he suffered in the waters, right? He was thrown into the waters twice, we said, once by the sailors, and a second time by the first fish. He says, each time I called out to you from, I think the pshat must be from the heart, because the whole point is he didn't daven yet. Rather, my heart was crying out to you, he says to Hashem, Vaya anini. And both times you answered me by sending along a fish, right? The first and the second fish. And then, subsequently, Mimbetan Sha'ol, from literally the stomach of Sha'ol means Gehenna, the suffering inside the second fish, being so confined and so squashed there, Shivati, I finally cried out to you with a curl, with a voice, Shomata Pili, then you listen to my voice. Second time was with a voice. Shivati, I cried out. Vocally. Then Shomata Pili, you heard my voice. Now, we can add on to this. I think it's the Al-Shik who adds this on. The Al-Shik says that this. The first time he was thrown into the waters, Yonah thought to himself, okay, that's it, my life's over. Hashem's not trying to get me to do the shiva, as we said in the first parak. Hashem has, based on Chazal, Hashem has already accepted my request that he should take my life as opposed to Klal Yisrael's life, and therefore he accepted that he was going to die. Therefore he didn't daven to Hashem. What's the point of davening? He was embarrassed, he didn't think it would help at all. What happened when the first fish swallowed him up? So he thought to himself, you'd think, well, maybe Hashem really does want me. No, he still doesn't want me, because what's he doing now? He's gonna kill me in the end anyway. Hashem's just trying to show me that you can't escape my clutches, my control. If I want to tie you up, I can. How do I do that? I can put you in prison. I've got a mobile prison. What's that? The fish. Puts him inside the fish, and I can transport you to wherever. I've got you under my control. And therefore, again, he didn't say anything. This is like Siddur Katzin. He accepted it, and that was it. When the first fish spat him out, again, he thought, okay, that's it. It's all over. Exactly as I thought. But then the second fish swallowed him up, and it was a different fish. It was a female fish. He thought to himself, why is Hashem doing this? He's not just playing games here. At this point, he thought that obviously Hashem wants me to do teshuva. And therefore, at that point, right, because if Hashem's trying to kill me, so Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocha, Mali Olsen, what's the difference whether the Malach HaMavis takes me here, there? There's no difference. Eremai, Hashem wants me to do teshuva. And therefore, at that point, he starts davening to Hashem. And that's what he says over here. He says, it's going back to Pasuk Beis even, when did he daven? From inside the female fish. At that point, he chatz, Hashem wants me to daven. And he said, I have called out from my troubles to Hashem Haya Anini. Nibetan Shal Shivat Roshamatsu Khadis. Only inside the second fish, that's the point at which he chaps that he that Hashem wants him to daven.
Isn't there an Indian doing the Shiva just before he died in any case? So even if he knew he was going to die, surely he should have been doing the
Shiva and
the
Dhamma. It would have been wouldn't it be in the same sort of spirit? It would have been a different sort of spirit. Now, more than that, the question is, why is this all in the past? By Ya'anini, he answered me. When did Hashem answer me in the past? If it's inside the fish, according to the Ashok, which I was in the fish. So the Ashok says that this. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Terem Yikro, it's a pasuk we say in Ya'aninu, I think, Terem Yikro Va'ani Erne, might be said on the fast day, before they call out, I will answer. Otei Medabirim Va'ani Yashem, well, they're still speaking and I'm listening. So the Alshuk says that this is a marshal to two people who go into a king. And both of them want to make a request of the king. One of them, the king says, look, he says to his servants, I know exactly what they want. I don't need to hear them make the request. So the first one, just go give him what he wants. I don't need to hear his request. Yeah? The second one, he says, I know what he wants, but let him ask for it anyway. So I'll ask you, which one does he love more? First or second person? The second. Because obviously he wants to hear his voice. Yeah, I know what he wants anyway, so why do I need to waste my time? The answers I'd like to hear. I want to build a kesher with him. I want to build some sort of bond, a relationship with him. He says, that's pshat in this pasuk. Terem yikra'u v'ani erne. Before they even call out, I know, I can answer. I've already told my ministering angels what to give them. I've already answered them. But you know what? I still want to hear them speak. Oid heim v'dabrim. Let them speak nonetheless, v'ani yeshu, because I just want to listen to them. I want to hear their voice. Says the over here. When I called out, you'd already answered me. Before I even spoke to you, you'd already answered me in the past. But nonetheless, you let me cry out from inside the Gehenna, from inside this Gehenna on earth. Why? Because you wanted to listen to my voice. You wanted to hear my voice. You wanted to let me speak to you, to build this cash with you. And that's, he says, this is what's going on over here. Perhaps another pshat, just one last pshat over here, again, why it's in the past, is I thought you could say like this. There's perhaps three dargas, there's three levels in bitachon. When a person asks Hashem for something, right, and seemingly he doesn't get answered. So there's three possibilities what a person can do. He can either say, well, forget it, what's the point of davening? I tried, right, at least I tried, that's it, forget it, now I'll go do my own ishtadus, forget it, leave Hashem, right, he's obviously not interested. That's the lowest level, obviously, if you can call it bitachon. Then you've got the next level, is a person who says, Hashem will answer. I davened, he will answer. The highest level is somebody who says, no, Hashem's already answered. How has he answered? I don't know yet. Let's wait and see. Maybe he wants me to daven a bit more before he's actually going to reveal to me how he's answered. No, Hashem's already accepted my tefillah. The second level is a person, he will hear. He'll hear my tefillah in the future. He'll answer in the future. Obviously, the tefillah's taking a bit of time. There's a bit of the lines are a bit busy at the moment. Hashem's too busy to deal with me, right? The other one is, no, Hashem's not busy. He's accepted my tefillah. He's already... What's the answer? Maybe the answer is no. I don't know. Maybe that was the answer. Wait and see. It says, Yonah the same over here. He displayed the highest level of bitachon. He says, I've called Hashem by Yanin. He's ready to answer me. Why am I still in this fish? I still have bitachon. I believe Hashem's answering me. We've had some Charles Shavati. Can you heard my voice? So what's the answer? I'll wait and see. He continues into Pasuk Dalet. Batashlicheni Metzula. And you threw me into the depths. This is now he's going to, because the Ashok explains, now that he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to daven, he wanted him to speak to Hashem, so at this point what he did was, he now began to be marif and to talk at length about the whole story. And it would appear that this is a chedek of teshuvah, that a person has to be makir his chet, he's got to be makir his wrongdoing, and then be makir the chet which Hashem has done with him. So he says the first time, says the Malkin, Vatashnichini Mesodah, this is the first time. You threw me, I the Sadis threw me into the depths of the waters, Bilvav Yamin, into the hearts of the waters. I think that's Middle Keneg Middah. I said this in the first parak, because we said that he ran Tarshisho. And we said, why did he Tarshisho? The locative hey. Could just say Tarshish. The word Tarshish means he came to Tarshish. Why Tarshisho? We explained based on the Medrash, on the Posuk, the Medrash, there's the Yalkut on the Posuk, which says, Yoshubu Rishoim Lish Oilo. To Sha'ol. And the Medrash says that means right into the depths of Sha'ol. So to Yonah, he wasn't interested in getting dust just to Tarshish. He wanted to get right into Tarshish, right into Chutzlaret, so he'd be safe and sound. So Hashem, Midakanei Gemidah, he threw him into the depths of the water. You see this in the Pesukim all around here. It's right into the depths of the waters. Midakanei Gemidah, he wasn't just thrown into the sea, right into the depths of the waters. And then he continues, V'nahari Yisei Beveni, and a river would surround him. Now, we're talking about the seas here, not a river. A river, the sea is relatively stagnant. I mean, yes, we've got the waves moving, but the sea itself is like a stagnant pool of water. It's supposed to be a river. A river is a flowing body of water. So he says, based on what we said in the first parak, the answer is because if you remember in the first parak, there was a ruach, a wind, which was created by his chet, by his sin, which came from within the waters. It wasn't a normal wind which blew from west to east, or right? Everyone else was passing by in the sea quite happily. The storm was just around their ship, because it was a bit like a whirlwind, we said, right? Underneath their ship. And therefore, it was making the waters move. It was a bit like a river, right? Surrounding the ship. He says, that was surrounding my ship. That's one possibility. Another possibility, I think it's the Malbim Pshat. The Alshif says of this, that once he'd been makir, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to kill him. Yeah? He just wanted to, at this point, he realized now that Hashem was never interested in killing him. He just wanted to cleanse him. How is he going to cleanse him? The answer is by giving him Gehinnom on earth. Giving him his Yisurim in this world. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He brought out this Nohar. It wasn't just a stum river. It was the river which comes out from under the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, in order to give him the Koyach with which to withstand the suffering. And Be'emes, I heard from Abi Joseph, he told me, his Rosh Shiva, Rabbi Yom Moskowitz, he always says this Gon, there's a Gon which says, I'm not sure where the Gon is yet, but apparently there's a Gon which says that in Gehinnom as well, we know in Gehinnom HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the person the Koyach to withstand the suffering, in order otherwise the person would die straight away. I mean, they're already dead, but they wouldn't be able to, Hashem gives them the Koyach, Dafka, to be able to withstand the suffering. What is that Koyach? So apparently the one the Gon says, it's the knowledge that through Gehinnom a person is going to come to Gan Eden. A person is, it's worth suffering all of this in Gehinnom in order that I can come to Gan Eden. It's worth the suffering in the end. And so to here, in a certain sense, that's what's going on over here. Hashem gave me the Koyach, this Eitz HaChayim, this river kept me alive in order to cleanse me, so that eventually I'd be able to be completely cleansed and come to Gan Eden, back to the dry land, which is, in the figurative sense, the Vilna Gaon says, the dry land symbolizes Olam Haba. Right, which we'll come to. I'll speak a bit about in the next class. But about this, you say we'll continue in a second. So he finishes off this class. Kol mishborecha v'galecha onai avaru, which is two. Rashi says two different. Rashi will know. Yeah, it's two different words for your waves. Right, they all passed over me. Right. Now the loshon mishborecha. Why is that a wave? Because it comes from the loshon to break up. Right, your waves. This suffering was breaking me. A bit like a kli cheres. Like a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, how do you purify it? By smashing it. So to the human body is very often referred to as a kli cheres. When we sin, we're like a kli cheres. How does Hashem cleanse us? By giving us suffering, by breaking the kli cheres, by breaking us with the Yisurim. He says, you are breaking me up with this suffering. The Malbim adds that what does it mean, olai ovori, they passed over me? This is as opposed to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we find the story with Rabbi Akiva, when he was in the waters, the waves lifted him up, and each wave passed him on to the next wave and took him back to dry land. He says, that wasn't in my case, that wasn't the case, says Yona. Rather, olai avoru, all the waves came crashing down on top of me. There was no way of saving me. I wasn't being brought back to dry land. That's because, as we said in the first parak, he wasn't interested in that. That's why he went down to the bottom of the ship. And it would appear the reason is, why? Because he understood, while he was there, at least at that first stage, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to actually kill him, right? Yeah? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka wanted to bring him back to dry land, he would have lifted him on the waves, as we said. He understood at that point Hashem wasn't, and that's why he didn't daven to Hashem at that point. At least we said vocally he didn't daven to Hashem. Thus it came, Vani Amarti. And I said, at that point, Negrashti Mineged Einecha, I thought to myself, I've been driven away from literally opposite your eyes, right? What he's doing at this point is, he is expressing, at this point he says, now I realize that all of this is really for the good. Originally I thought that was it. I was being driven away from Eretz Yisrael. I'd never see Eretz Yisrael again. Because Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Asha'ini Hashem Elekecha Bom. It's the land which Hashem's Shlita, Hashem's direct control in the most, right? The most direct control is there. That's the land of Hashem. I thought I was being driven away. Minneged Einecha, away from that land which Eini Hashem. I thought that was it for me. He says, in the end, I see that it was actually to cleanse me, and therefore, other Abba. Not only would I be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, Ach Oisiv Lahavet El Heichal Kol Shecho. I would be, not only Eretz Yisrael, I would be able to look to go up a darga, to be able to look into the heichal of your kolchecha, of your holiness, right? And this seems to be based on the what the Vilna Gaon says. You could explain RP this Vilna Gaon. Through the suffering, I would be able to come to Olam Haba, to the higher darga, to the heichal kolchecha, to the kodesh kadoshim. And he says, and this I all, the Malbim says, when, at which point did I realize this? The Malbim, at least at this point, says he realized this at least when he came into the first fish. Even though he didn't daven at that point, he says at this point he suspected something. And that was, we can learn, there's a big limit to learn from here. When a person suffers, Rahman al-Islam, a person suffers a near miss, so a person can just continue life as before. Yonah teaches us that that's not the attitude. If a person suffers a near miss, it's a wake-up call. Uru, uru, yishenu, mishenu, afkum. Hashem is trying to arouse us from our slumber. He says, at that point, I realized, no, Hashem is trying to arouse me. And then he says, ach, oisiv labiti heichal kachecha. He says, now I'm going to work even harder to serve Hashem with all my kochis, even more than before. He was mekabel upon himself a certain kabbalah to better himself. And that's really what we have. If a person suffers, rachman al-Islam, a near miss, it's incumbent upon him to obviously to make a cheshman on nefesh, but to try and improve himself in some way. No, he was. He was later. He was already much. He was later.
So when did so at what point in history?
It was towards the end of the. It was a lot. Put it this way: I think about 120. According to the Baal Ben Ed, it was 120. We'll speak about it in the Perek Gimel. 120 years before Nebuchadnezzar took the throne.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's 120 years. The Malbim says the math doesn't quite work. He's got various contradictions in the Baal Ben Ed. That's what the Baal Ben Ed says. It's something around that. So 40 years before Sancheiv originally came. We'll speak about it in the third Perek. It was in the first place. Yeah, it was really much later. Yeah. I mean, it was already at that point, it seems clear that Hashem was already, he was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
Also, the question we had last week raised about whether it was Eliyahu or Elisha.
Yeah.
Well, Gehazi was the servant of Elisha. And Gehazi was involved with the incident of the Shulamis, the woman of Yonah. And she said after him. Remember, Gehazi took the reward that she.
Yeah, well, that wasn't yet. That was. It wasn't Yonah. I mean, it was Eliyahu. Yonah, the one who was Machiah Eliyahu. We're going to see in this parak again. It was definitely Eliyahu. It wasn't Elisha. Definitely Eliyahu. You're thinking of somebody else. I don't remember now. It was a different king. There were two, but they're two different stories. So going on into Pasuk Vav, so Afafuni Mayim Ad Nefesh, the waters surrounded me up to the Nefesh, right? Which is the, he says, we're going to see is the nose in a second. Right, this was when he was thrown into the sea, the second time. Right, this the Malbim says this was the second time he was thrown into the waters. He says this time he doesn't say anything about a nohar, a river. Right, this is the Alshech. Right, the Alshech says it doesn't say anything about a river having to keep me alive. Why? The answer is he says because the first time I was thrown into the river, right, the first time I was thrown into the river, it was in order to purge me. It was the suffering of Gehenna, therefore Hashem had to keep me alive. Whereas this time. Right? This seems to be the Peshat at least. This time Hashem was throwing me into the river in order that the second fish would swallow me up in order to get me to daven. It wasn't to punish me, to cleanse me anymore. And therefore I didn't need, it wasn't Gehenna anymore. Therefore Afafuni Mayim Ad Nefesh means the water surrounded me Ad V'lei Ad Bichlal, up to the nose. And therefore I didn't need anything to keep me alive. I could stand at that point. Right? However, Tahom Yisevaveni, the deep waters, right? The underwaters, they threatened, they surround me, ready to swallow me up. But Suf Chavosh L'Reishi, I still nonetheless, I didn't need this special Nohar to keep me alive, because Suf, the reeds, were like a bandit, where they surrounded my head and they held me up. That kept me, it was like, I suppose, around his neck or something like that. That kept me up above the waters. And therefore, I didn't need this special river. And as I said, this reason seems to be because this time, the second time, it wasn't wasn't the point of view of Gehenna. Another possibility is that this, it goes like this, Afafuni Mayim Ad Nefesh means that the not the same time, not the original waters, they surround me ad nefesh. So hoimi sevibeni means because the first fish took me all the way down into the depths, right, the tahom, and that's where it spat me out. Therefore, tahom yisevini, the tahom surround me. He actually was in the depths, according to this pshat. He was in the deep waters. Suf chobushlareshi, suf, the Malbim says, that refers to the waters above the tahom. They were above my head, right? That's how the Malbim touches this posse. Now, Rashi brings up a pshat, this is based on the Targum, that like this. He says, suf refers to the yamsuf. Yeah? He says, the two eyes of the fish, well, this first fish were like windows, and he says through these windows, Hashem showed him the whole replay of Kriyas Yamsa, reconstruction of Kriyas Yamsa. That's what he says. What's Pshat? So that's to suggest a Pshat like this. That remember the dog. This is the Vilna Gaon's understanding is that the dog, it's based I think on the Zohar, the dog is a reference like Gehenna. Right, that represents Gehenna. That's the fish, right? The stuff inside the fish. The waters represent Olam Hazeh, it's like a voyage through Olam Hazeh, and the dry land is Olam Habo. And when Klal Yisrael went through, well, let's go this way out. When a person goes to Gehinnom, Lacham Eveh Esrim, if a person suffers, hopefully we shouldn't suffer in Gehinnom, but if people suffer in Gehinnom, they look back on earth and they think to themselves, what a fool I was, right? I looked at this world as a world, as a voyage on the sea. I didn't realize that a person could really go B'Sir Chayom Bayar Boshem. Like Kriyas, what was the message of Kriyas Yamsa? In a sort of perhaps a deeper sense, is that a person can go through the sea, a person can go through the voyage in this world, but at the same time, by Abosha, the road which he takes, you don't have to go on ships and storms over, you could take the easy road. What's the easy road? The dry road, the dry path. What's that? The path of Avodas Hashem. You can merge the two together. You can be Zechel, as we say by Rebbe, Zechel Ishtei Shulchonis. He had Olam Hazeh as well. He didn't benefit from it, but he was a rich man. But look at how often godly he was. He used it for Avodas Hashem. If a person, he can blend the two, he can use the Gashmius which he has for Avodas Hashem, for furthering his connection with Hashem. When a person goes to Gehenna, inside this dog, a person's going to look back and he's going to see a Kriyas Yamsuf. He's going to say, what a fool. My whole life I was pursuing Olam Hazeh. I was taking this voyage. I could have taken it the easy way. I could have gone B'Sir Chayom by Yabosha. I could have gone through Olam Hazeh, but by Yabosha. And that's perhaps not the literal sense, that's a message which we can take based on this Targum over here. Pasuk Zayin, Likitzvei Horim Yoratzi. I went down to the ends of the mountains. Now, based on what the Malbim said before, that he was in the Tahom and there were high waters on top of him, this means the mountains which are above the Tahom. I was below the mountains. Ha'oretz b'richeho v'adi, the land was like a lock. Yeah, v'adi. It's locked, v'adi, opposite me. In other words, I couldn't get out of the tomb because the mountains, the land of the mountains was blocking me from coming up. La'olam, forever. The word la'olam, Rashi says, goes back on what we said earlier. I said that I would be driven away from Negev enough from marriage, so la'olam forever. And that I thought I'd be down here, it's trapped in tomb forever. Right? It's good. And I would never be able to get up. But nonetheless, Vatal Mishachas Chayoi. Sorry, Vatal Mishachas Chayai, Hashem Elokoi. You, Hashem, my God, you brought me up, you brought my life back up from the depths of Gehenna. And this is the second time when the second fish swallowed me up. Right? He says that up to this point, Yonah has now been mafarit, Yonah has spelled out all his suffering, the experiences inside the sea. And being swallowed up the first time of the fish, the second time. And from here onwards, we're going to talk about what happens inside the female fish. The Al-Sheikh gives a slightly different pshat, and that's like this. He says, "L'kitzvei orim yoratzti." He says, people may say like this. He was worried that people may say that, obviously, Yonah, he's a non-believer. He believes that Hashem only has control over the dry land and not the sea. Otherwise, why didn't he run away on dry land? You want to go to Chutz Lo'aretz, you have to go by sea. Just run out, go out, I don't know, whatever, right, whichever way you want to go, go out to Palestine, whatever it is, just go out to Eretz Yisrael that way. So he says, you know what, I would have done that. Like he said to the sailors, the same thing he confirmed to the sailors, he said in the Parakalot, Asher Osa Es Hayom Es Hayabosha, that Hashem made the sea and they dried out. And one of the reasons, one of the Peshotim that Ashok said is, he was telling them, don't think the reason why I came into the sea is because I don't think Hashem controls the sea. That's not the reason. I believe Hashem made the sea as well. So to me, he says over here, I would have gone away to the ends of the mountains. If that was where the Gavul of Eretz was, I would have gone there. But Ha'aretz B'richei Al-Bati Lo'olam, had I done that, I never would have been able to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? Had I gone out that way, I never would have had the suffering of the sea. I never would have had the Gehinnom in this world, and therefore I would have been taken from this world to have Gehinnom in the next world. I never would have been able to return to Eretz Yisrael. But Baruch Hashem, Matal Mishachas Chayai, I went down into the seas, I went down into the Gehinnom in this world, and through that I suffered and I was cleansed. And through that cleansing, Hashem Elokoi, Hashem is my God. He's my personal God. I was zecher through the cleansing, through this teshuva, I reaffirmed my commitment to Hashem, and I was zecher a special bond with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that only Baali Teshuva gets. As Chazal tells, B'mochus Baali Teshuva Oimdim, Afidu Tzadik Gemurim, Afidu Tzadik Gomer, Ein Yochel Lamed. Even a complete and utter tzadik can't stand in those planes. And we've spoken about the pshat of that in the past. Right? Like we say in Adon Olam. If you look in Adon Olam, Adon Olam, I've noticed, is broken into two parts. Right? It starts off Adon Olam Hashem Olam. Right? You speak all about the control of Hashem, right? Right? Go to singing all his praises. Then suddenly it goes, right? How does it go? That's speaking his praises. What happens then? Vahu keili, he's my God. V'chai goali, my redeemer. Right then, follow it through. V'chai goali, v'tzuchevli, it's all my. V'tzuchevli, it's right then. Right? The whole thing is, what's going on over there? Because very nice, Hashem is a great and powerful God. What's that to me? Am I like a guy on the street who's got no direct connection? No. Hashem's mine. Yeah? It's like the son of the king. He sings, he says, you know, you will think, yeah, you're the subject of the king. He's my father. Right? So too in Shema, we say the same thing. We say, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, I've got a great piece of news for you. Not just Hashem is our God. Hashem is the absolute one. Right there, like the Ramchal says, one in the sense that we have no mustard what the one means, the most powerful, beyond comprehension, right? Not like the table which can be divided into, not like the human body which may not, we have no mustard what that oneness means. So what's that to me? You want to know something? I've got a great piece of news for Kalei Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, he's our God. Yeah? We've got a special connection with him. And somebody told me that Pani Rav Shimshon Pinkus says it, at the end of our Midah, what do we say? The last thing we end off, the climax is Elokeinu Tzur. He's my God. I've sung all his praises. I've done to you. You're my God. That's the most amazing thing. You're my personal God. Says Yonah, by going through the seas, that's why I went through the seas as opposed to dry land. Hashem Elokoi, because through that I've been zocher through all the suffering. Hashem Elokoi. He's my personal God. Right? Like Leil Silover. Everyone's going to stand in a circle around something and point. That's Hashem. That's my God. Right? That's what's going on over here. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves broken Kelim. Right? People who are broken in spirit, because they've done teshuva. We find by the Luchas. Right? The Luchas, the first Luchas were broken. Where did they go? The Kodesh Kadoshim. Right? We've also got it noted by the various Korbanos. The Korban Shalom, the Korban Toda, all these things which can be a nether of a person's own free will, volition, they want to draw into Hashem, so they vow to bring a korban tzedakah or something like that. Is that kodesh kadoshim or kodesh kalim? It's kodesh kalim. It's a lower degree. What's the kodesh kadoshim? Chatos, oshon, oilo. Chatos obviously is a sin offering. Oshon very often is a sin offering. Most of these, right? All the sin offerings, they're kodesh kadoshim. What's pshat in that? What's pshat in that? The answer is because Hashem loves broken kelim. Hashem loves Baali Teshuvah. They are so dear to him, right? Like the Maharal gives in the Siv Teshuvah, in the Siv as Hashem, he gives a moshel there of a person. A king gives somebody a very, very precious crystal vase to look after him. And obviously the inevitable happens, it smashes. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes to a very wise man, and the wise man says, there's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing. So he thinks, look, the wise man doesn't really know the king. I'll go to the king's advisors. Maybe they'll be able to help me. They say, not really. There's nothing really we can do for you. See, in a last desperate attempt, he says, look, I'll go to the glass blower himself. Maybe he can repair it. So he goes to the glass blower. He says, look, I can patch it up so that I can rebuild. It'll never look the same. So he goes to the king. He takes the life in his hand, says, I've got no choice now. He goes to the king himself, trembling. He goes into the king and he says, you know that glass vase you gave me? Well, I sort of, you know, I broke it. The king says, you did what? He says, I love broken Canaan. He says, don't tell anyone, I think I'm mad, but the mice, I love broken Canaan, right? So too, our Kodesh Baruch Hu loves. He loves broken people. People come with a broken spirit, but they do teshuva. That's what Yonah said earlier. Kol mishborecho v'galecho oray avoru. All that suffering broke me up. And because of that, you love me so much. That's how Rezeche Hashem Elokei, that you are Hashem my God. I got this special connection. There's much more which could be said about this, but this is the basic idea of it. Pasuk Ches, v'hisatev alai nafshi, when my, which means when I was forced, if you want, according to one pshat, when I was forced inside the female fish now, to daven to Hashem, es Hashem zocharti, right? When I was being pushed there, I was in a position of deichak, es Hashem zocharti, I was forced to remember Hashem, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And vatovo elecha tefilo si el heichal kodshecha. And my tefilo came to you to the heichal kodshecha. Chazal tell us what does it mean a heichal kodshecha? Chazal say, you know where he was? Where was he in the time? He was in the depths. Where was this time? Where in the world was the time at this point? I mean, which point of the time was it? You know where? Right underneath the kodshe kodoshim. Now let me ask you, do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's exactly what we said beforehand. If a person wants to do teshuva, you know where Hashem takes him? Right into his Kodesh Kodoshim. Hashem says, your tefillah, that broken tefillah of the broken man, you know where I'm going to take that? Right into my Kodesh Kodoshim. Therefore Hashem brought him, made that fish, steer him right into where? Right underneath the Anzahartia, right under the Kodesh Kodoshim. That's one nekudah. Another nekudah is, the Al-Sheikh says, there's a pasuk which says, we say every day, Kol Hanashoma Tahal Ko, right? Every neshama, all the neshama tahalko will praise Hashem. And Chazal tell us that with every breath a person takes, the nefesh tries to escape the body. But when it sees that the Shekhinah fills this earth, then it goes back inside the body. Says the Al-Sheikh, what pshat? He says the teva of anything really is to go back to its roots, right? So the teva of the neshama is it wants to go back to our Kodesh Baruch. It doesn't want to be in this earthy world, this lowly and this dirty world, right? The schmutzdik world. So it tries, every time it tries to break out and go back to Hashem. But when it sees that the Shekhinah is none other than, where is the Shekhinah? Inside the very person himself. So he goes back inside the person. Moreover, that's, especially if based on Chazal say that a person can be the chariot of the Shekhinah, every person can be the Mishkan for Hashem. So he goes back inside the person. Furthermore, he says, because the Nefesh says to itself, Daya le'ever li'os karab. I can't be frumer than my master. If Hashem is prepared to be in this dirty world, so, well, I could be frummer than that. I should be able to go for this world. So he stays down here. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's pshat in this pasuk. V'hisatev alai nafshi. When my nefesh tries to escape my body, es Hashem zocharti. I remember Hashem. Dino, I start thinking about Hashem. With that, I bring Hashem into my body. And then what does it say? It doesn't say v'atelef elef tefilosi. That my tefillah goes to you, Hashem. It says v'atobo elef tefilosi. My tefillah comes to you. Why does it come to you? You say it goes. The answer is the same place it goes is where it comes. It goes and comes straight back into you. Because where's it going? Where is Hashem? Inside you. So the tefillah is going from my heart into my heart. It's not really going anywhere. It's coming into my heart. Right? Correct? That's what he's saying. But it's like when my neshama tries, when my nefesh tries to escape my body because it doesn't want me, yes, Hashem's authority. I surely remember Hashem. I think about Hashem. Shuisa Hashem Negdi. Something I think about that. And then Takash, if I think that Hashem is in a Negdi, and Hashem is not only in a Negdi, he's right inside me, then Matzovei Lech Tefillah Si, my Tefillah comes right to you. Why? Because El Heichal Kodshecha, because it comes, because that is where the Heichal Kodshecha is, it's inside me. That Reb Chaim Velozhina says, in Nefesh HaChayim, V'shochamti B'seichom, apparently Chazal say, that B'seichom Lech HaVeichom, that each and every person has the ability to be a chariot to the Shekhinah. And this is the Hemshech of the Pesukim. That through the teshuva, a person can become a merkava of the Shekhinah, can become a chariot for the Shekhinah. And then, b'mok mishvali teshuva emdim, Right? That's where the Shekhinah goes. The Shekhinah Dafke goes right there, and that's Hashem Elokoi. I get a special connection with you, Hashem. You come inside me, and therefore the Nefesh doesn't go. It doesn't leave me. It comes straight back into me. Because that's where the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah is right inside me. Perhaps we can add one more point. Perhaps Mitzal the Musa Shabbai is that this. The Gemara says in Brachos that the Hasidim are Rishonim, the earlier Hasidim, Hayishon Shoachas, right before their tefillah, they used to wait 1 hour, then they'd daven for an hour, and then they'd wait another hour afterwards. No, I can understand why they had to wait an hour beforehand. They had to prepare themselves for them a whole hour. No. Their tefillah as well, it took an hour. I can understand that as well. But they should have to sit for an hour afterwards rather than learning. Why do they have to do that? So the Mefarshim say the pshat is like this. The person has to understand we don't have any such masogim nowadays. I believe I think Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan speaks about such an idea, how a person can get to some sort of darga like this through sort of not meditation exactly before the tefillah, but the idea is like this. Tefillah is supposed to be that a person is supposed to get rid of his body. A person is supposed to be mafshit the guf, and it should be just an neshama. The neshama should be completely no division between you and Hashem. That took them a whole hour. They sat there for an hour, meditated, whatever it was, and through that they raised their neshama up to a new level outside the confines of this world. And then they davened Tasha, and then they needed a whole hour afterwards to bring themselves back down into this world. That's why they needed the hour afterwards. Nowadays, we don't have such misogyny, right? So in our sense, what does that mean? It means putting aside the body's constraints and the body's needs and the things which your business needs and whatever it is. Put those out of your mind. When I begin to daven, when I try to be mafshit the nefesh, right? I think they say it as well. The itzuf nefesh means getting rid of the body, and then the nefesh overtakes and wraps the body. It's ready to some es Hashem's authority. At that point, all you're supposed to be thinking about is what? It's Hashem. Nothing other than Hashem. Es Hashem's authority. Just Hashem is what I'm supposed to remember. If you do that, then my tefillah will come to you, because there's no division. It'll go straight to Hashem. Right? And there's an amazing phenomenon. Every time a person starts davening, right? I hold a conversation with you, right? So I'm able to, I don't start thinking about what's going to be for supper tonight, what I'm doing in my holidays, right? The minute I start davening, what happens? At least I know what happens with me. So my mind starts wandering. Suddenly I find myself in the middle of a Bilal Malshinim. I think, how did I get there? Right? What happened in between? Right? The Kotzker once said to one of his Talmidim, when they finished the davening, he went out to his Talmid, he said, Shalom Aleichem. So the Talmid said to him, what do you mean Shalom Aleichem? I haven't gone anywhere. I didn't go on holiday. I don't know. I haven't gone away. He said, exactly. You just finished davening. He said, you went right, you had a round the world cruise, right? Where was your mind? It was in Paris. It was in America. It was everywhere but thinking about Hashem. Now, why is that? Is it because we can't envisage Hashem properly in front of us? What is it? I think the answer is very simple. You'll notice that the Yetzer Hara, his attacks, his offenses are always laid against. Where does it pick? It's against the main point of any mitzvah, right? Now, what is the main tachlis of tefillah? Is connecting with Hashem. So, what does the Yetzer Hara do? He does everything but that. He makes you connect with that, everything but Hashem, right? And that I think is what's going on with the idea of tefillah. And perhaps that's in our day and age, the Yetzer Hara has got a new Yetzer Hara, right? He's got a new way of new offensive. What's that? The mobile phones, right? Now you go into a shul, and in the middle of davening, suddenly a mobile phone goes off. Now that's okay, that can happen. A person could forget, but it gets worse when people pick up the phone and they start. I've heard this from people, right? The person's Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, right? What's going on? Did they just receive a phone call from Hashem? I mean, who are they talking to? Right? So you said, this is the new attack of the Yetzer Hara. The point is over here, this Atipa Lai Nafshi, Tefillah is a time, it's a prime time, it's a quality time between us and Hashem. This Atipa Lai Nafshi is Hashem's authority. Just to think about Hashem. That's it. Nothing else. Pasuk Tes. Mishamirim Havlei Shov Chastom Ya'azov. Those who guard the Havli Shov, what are Havli Shov? So the Alshach says it means they take hevel, they take futility, what's that? Gold, silver, things which are lifeless, and they make from them, sure, nothing, right? I.e., images, or things in the, I don't know, things in the celestial, whatever they believe their powers are. But Meshamrim, they have to guard them, right? That's the biggest joke about it, right? Is that they have to look after their own, they have to look after their deities so they shouldn't get stolen. So Meshamrim Havei Shov, those who guard the Havei Shov, Chastom Ya'azoyu, they will forsake their chesed. Now there's various pshatim in this. One pshat is, this refers to the sailors on the ship. They will forsake, or they have forsaken their chesed, because remember they were Niskaya, they threw down their deities. Now they're no longer going to look after the chesed which they were doing with their deities, i.e. looking after them from Gnei Bon, they're no longer going to do that. They're going to forsake them. Why are they going to forsake them? Because the din is, the din is that Avodah Zorah, or the Yisrael, can never become null and void. You can never be Mabatah, you can never change its status. And since they've now been Niskaya, now they've converted, Chastom Ya'azoyu, they have to forsake them, they have to leave them. They can't look after them anymore because there's no bittul. So what he's saying is, the Alshach says, is that he's expressing another Toeres which came about by going down into the sea. Remember we said, he was in Posek Zion, he said, why did I go through the sea as opposed to going on dry land? One of the reasons is because through that I'd get cleansed. Another reason is because look at what came out of it. A great Kiddush Hashem. All these nations of the world, they realize that Hashem is the only supreme power, He is the only supreme power, and therefore they threw down their deities. And he said that's another Toeres which came about through this. Another possibility is that it's talking about the people of Nineveh. He's saying like this: you could either say Meshamrim Habishov Chastom Ya'azoyu, will they forsake their Avodah Zorah? The Loshon Chesed we find can refer to a Loshon of humiliation, right? In other words, Cherva, right? Will they forsake their Chesed, i.e. their Avodah Zorah? They're not going to forsake their Avodah Zorah. Or he's saying that Meshamrim Habishov Shov, these people of Nineveh, serve Avodah Zorah, Chastom Ya'azoyu. Yeah, they'll do Teshuva, but it won't last. Chastom Ya'azoyu, they'll forsake the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll go back, they'll revert back to their old habits, bad habits. And it would appear that according to this, Yonah was expressing, he was saying that he was trying again to talk on behalf of the Zechus of Klal Yisrael. He was saying, look, you think, fine, let's say Nineveh do Teshuva, but it's not going to last. Whereas Klal Yisrael, when they finally do Teshuva, they're going to return to Hashem, and it will be once and for all, it will be, they will be dobbuk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, they won't revert to their bad ways. And one final pshat is, which leads into the next pasuk, which is Rashi, based on the Targum, is he says, this is going on generally, he's talking about the Ovdei Kechovim of the world. Meshamrim Avishol, those who serve Avodah Zorah, Chastom Ya'azoyu. They forsake the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They leave behind Yiras Hashem. Whereas I'm not like that. He says in the next pasuk, I give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. Why? Because we know the halachos of Birkas HaKoyimel, four people need to give thanksgiving to Hashem. One of them is Yerodei Ayon, those who go into the sea. So he says, I have to give thanks to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number one. Number two is Hashem Odarti Hashalemu. That which I vow to do, I will pay up. Right? What does that mean? Because he said, now I've promised you, Hashem, that I will go to Nineveh. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to Nineveh. Now I've done Teshuvah, I'm going to go to Nineveh. What about when I'm worried it's going to show up Klal Yisrael? What's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? Yeshua Sal Hashem. Salvation is all in the hands of Hashem. I leave it to Hashem. I hope and I trust our Kadosh Baruch Hu will look after Klal Yisrael. Another, the Alshach's Pshat is like this. That's the Malka. The Alshach's Pshat is like this. He says, normally when a person, they make Birkas HaGomel, they go up to the Sefer Torah, they say Birkas HaGomel. He says, when I make Birkas HaGomel, it's a completely different Birkas HaGomel. When I give my voice of thanksgiving, it will be like I'm sacrificing myself to you. It will be like a Zemah. Says the Alshach, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishvorim. A broken spirit is like a Zevach to Hashem. Right? What's Pshat? He says, because when I make that bracha, I'm going to relive, I'm going to remember all that my experiences in the sea. And therefore, it will be considered as if I'm offering myself to you. What's Pshat in that? So let's explain like this. We find in Parshas Vayechi that on the way back from having buried Yaakov, so the brothers they went to Yosef and they said that our father said that you shouldn't harm us. So the Baal Tosfos say, why all of a sudden just because Yaakov died? So the Baal Tosfos says no, because at that point they passed by the pit which Yosef had been thrown into many years earlier, and therefore they thought maybe he remembered now. So the Master Rosh Hashiva says this. He says, I don't really understand. What, just because they passed the pit? Do you honestly think Yosef had forgotten about it? Do you think he'd ever forget that the rest of his life? Do you think anyone, Rachman and son, who went through the Holocaust, do you think they forgot it? They're ever going to forget it? Not to the end of their life. Right? Yosef suffered immensely. That was just the start of this. I mean, you think he's going to forget about it? So why all of a sudden? He says so this. He says, you have to understand, when a person, the Moshel, a person has to make a bracha shasali nes, right? Yeah? If a nes happened to him in a certain place, every time he passes that place, he has to make the bracha. So let's say he passes that place a few days afterwards, he makes it, it'll be with tremendous kavanas, tremendous emotion to make that bracha. Let's say he passes a year afterwards. It'll be less emotion. 10 years, there won't be any emotion. He'll make it by rote because he's got to make the bracha. That's the halacha. Yosef wasn't like this. It was more than 20 years later. 30 years later, I think, even, right? And he passes by the pit, and he's going to make the bracha as Shasali Neis Bamakam Azeh. Do you think he's just going to make the bracha like that? He says, no way. He says, the Master Rosh Hashiva, he first relived the experience. And if you can imagine, he was reliving the experience with all the snakes and scorpions inside it, and he's beginning to perspire, and he's shaking, and he's shuddering, and he's about to collapse. He looks like he's going to faint. And the brothers think at this point, oy vey, we're finished now. So then they ask him. Right? That's the way a Yosef HaTzadik makes a bracha. So too over here says, you end up the same thing. You think I'm just going to make a bracha like everyone else, kol tov, I'm just going to make a bracha like everyone, no way. V'ani b'kol tov es b'cholach. When I make the bracha, I'm going to relive the whole experience. What do we say? Kol mishborecha v'galecha alay avoru. This is pshat. Kol mishborecha v'galecha alay avoru. Those galim, those waves which passed over me, they broke me. They made me into a broken. I'm going to mamash relive that as if I'm a broken man. And therefore my thanksgiving, my bracha will be zivcha elekim ruach nishborach. It will be a ruach nishborach, it will be a broken spirit, it will be a broken man. And therefore it will be zivcha elekim, it will be as if I've offered myself up to you, Hashem. We could just add, one last point is, we say b'chol nafshecha every day, right in Shema, b'chol nafshecha. And we're told that b'chol nafshecha means you should be prepared to give yourself up. And I've seen or heard in the past, how can we be mekayim that? I mean, actually dying al-Kiddush Hashem. They say if a person actually really internalizes this and he's really prepared to give himself up for Hashem, to be Moshe Nefesh al-Kiddush Hashem, then with that a person, Hashem will consider it as if you've done that. If a person lives it as if he really doesn't just say, B'chol Ashvei, I'll be prepared. He thinks when he says those, he imagines a Christian or whatever it is standing in front of him with a gun pointing at your head and saying, convert now or I'm going to shoot you. And you say, I don't mind, shoot me. It's painless anyway, but, right? Shoot me, I'm prepared. It's the highest honor a person could possibly live for. But that Hashem considers it as if you've done that.
Isn't the presence of 10 Jews, or if in private somebody says to you, I'll shoot you in private?
Yeah, no, for Avodah Zarah is even in private.
Even in private?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Then you've got, I mean, it may depend on the circumstances why he's telling you as well. I mean, the Rambam speaks about these things, whether he's doing it because he's got his own motives. There's other halachas, but I'm talking about where it does apply at least, right? Okay, then you've got, the post finishes off, Asher nodarti ashalemo. He said, that which I was menad, that which I vowed to do, ashalemo, I'm going to pay up. Says the Alshuk, what does that mean? He says, you may ask me, so why don't I bring a korban? It's still the first place I make the times the first, so go bring a korban. He says, because, you know why? Because my korban, or whatever it is, like that, is not because of my Yeshua, my personal salvation. It's ultimately it's because of the Yeshua of Hashem in the future. Remember, in Godus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol suffers. Ima anechi v'tzor. The Sara Shekhina in Godus. He says, that's what I'm really pained by, right? One of the Hasidic Rebbe's, when he was in prison once, so he said on the Pasuk, we say, Gam kirich begit samol, even when I went to the valley of death, lo yirara, I wouldn't fear any bad, because you are with me. Right? An expression of B'tochen. He says, he types the Pasuk like this, Gam kiyirich begeit samamis. Even when I go in the valley of death, I'm suffering in prison. Lo yira, I'm not afraid. I know you're with me. I trust in you. Raw, that which is bad, that which really hurts me is ke'atzo emoti. You have to suffer with me. Says Yonah the same thing over here. He says, I'm not, it's not because of my personal salvation. I'm waiting for the day when you, Hashem, Kaviyochol, you will be saved, you will be taken out of Godus. Rosh Hashanah Pinchas Behemoth says, he says, that's the whole idea in Tefillah. When you dub and Atoch Chenei Nodem, why do I want? Because I need to be clever? No, it's because of the Sarah Shechina. The most, an easier one to understand is Tekal B'Sheif or something like that, Reinov on Yenu, right? Why do I want this suffering to end? Not because of my personal suffering. It's because of all the degrading comments and the way they insult and they debase the holy place. That's the Sarah Shechina. That's what bothers me. That's why Reinov on Yenu and take us out of the scholars. And furthermore, he says, don't suspect me that the reason why I want the Yeshua of Hashem is in order that I should be saved first. No, it's only because of I want Hashem Kaviyachot to be saved. And therefore, that's why I'm not bringing a Korban now. Because at this point, Hashem's suffering hasn't ended. He says, because in the future, he says, that's where I'm going to fulfill my nether. In the future, when finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu is brought out this goddess Kaviyachot, then there'll be a major Seudah with the Levi Yassam. And he says, at that point, Yonah says, I'm going to be the one to give out to the tzaddikim from this Rabbi Yosef and also Lob. Why? Because we could add one more nekud. He says, normally a person wouldn't make a neder unless you can fulfill it. You don't make a neder that I'm going to, in 150 years' time, I'm going to do such and such. You're not going to be here in 150 years' time. Right? So what's Yonah making a neder for the future about the Rabbi Yosef? Yeah? Unless Moshiach comes before that, he's going to die before that. The answer is, he says, because I have absolute betochen that even after I die, I'm going to come back in the form of Moshiach ben Yosef. As we said last week, Yonah is Moshiach ben Yosef. How do I know that? Because Eliyahu was Machayim Mason. On who? On Yonah. As a simon, as if to say, I'm going to come first, and following me, Eliyahu, will come this child, i.e. Yonah, in Moshiach ben Ephraim, and he will give out the Levi Yosef to the tzaddikim in the future. That's what it means. Ashenodati Ashanim, in the future I will pay up Yeshua Sal Hashem, on the day when there will be a Yeshua of Hashem, i.e. With the Geulah El Sidlove. We could add one more Nukud, is Ashalim. It doesn't say Ashalim. What's the difference between Ashalim and Ashalim? So we said in Rus, on the Pasuk Yas Hashem Emochem Chesed, the Rekeach says, the difference between Yas and Yaseh, it's Greek Sid there, is Yas means it's a Tefillah. May he do. Yaseh means it's, I guarantee he will do. It's a Nevuah. He will. So to Ashalim, it doesn't say, may I pay up in the future. Ashalim, I promise, I will. Because he says, I believe with absolute betochen, I'm going to come back in the future as Moshiach ben Yosef, and therefore, I will pay up. And finally, Pasuk Yedalev, Vayema Hashem Ladog, and Hashem said to the fish, Vayoki, instructed, Vayoki as Yonah el Yavosh, he spat out Yonah onto dry land. Now surely it should be Dogo, not Dog. Yeah? So it would seem the pshat is, because based on what we said earlier, that a dogo means a species that with lots of fish inside, lots of baby fish. That was only in order to make him daven. Once he davened, then Hashem made the female fish give out all these baby fish, and now there was only one single fish, i.e. the mother fish. And therefore he was, because there was no more reason for him to suffer any longer. Perhaps, as we said, one more remez again to the fact that Kekotan Shanolat. With them all being born, it was like he had been reborn, being given a new lease of life. The last Nakuda is, the Chazal say, he was spat out. You know how far he was spat out by the fish? 965 parsecs, which is something about around 4,000 kilometers. Now, what the significance of that is, at least for this point, we're going to say we don't know. Bezos Hashem and Perek Gimel will speak about it. But where do they get that from? Both the Malvim and the Ashik are a bit puzzled. They each suggest a pshat. The Malvim says, he says, perhaps you could take the words, if you take the Gematria of the words, Lashem, Vayim Hashem Ladog, Vayoke Esiona, that gives you the Gematria 965. And whereas the Alshik says, he says, if you take the Gematria of Vayoke Esiona Elei Abosha, plus the number of words, which is 5 words, plus the number of letters is 17, plus what we call the Achdus Kololus, is the one, is the reading of all of them, is the extra one, that gives you 965. But as Hashem will speak about in Perek Gimel, what the significance of that is.